We've been working through Judges this term, sorry, this summer holiday season. For those of you who always like to give a little bit of a recap of our Old Testament to know where we are, you will remember that Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. You will then remember that it was Joshua who had the joy of bringing the Israelite family into the promised land. And Judges, the book of Judges that we're hearing from at the moment, follows that time after when Joshua died, went to be with the Lord. And God raised up judges generally to bring the Israelite people back to him where they had strayed and they'd wandered. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Gideon's probably about number five judge on the list, following Deborah, the only female judge, who we looked at last summer, I seem to remember. Now, if you're like me, you may have only been to church a couple of times over this summer here in Whitfield Parish. So this Gideon 5 God Speaks this morning, you will notice the 5 gives it away. This is our 5th week. We've got one more week. So just so you know the story so far, could we have the next, let's see if my blipper works. Just so you know, I like to get your brains going. Can you change to the next slide? I put it all in the wrong order, the next slide. But those of you that have been here for all of the weeks or know the story, hopefully will be able to put it in the right order. Are we going to get there? We have a few technical issues this morning. Look at that. This curate, he's hands-on. Fantastic. Right, don't give the other one. Don't give the game away. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. That's the right answers. I want the previous one. There we go. Yes, there we go. Oh, look at it. It doesn't even fit the screen. We're having a great time this morning. There we go. So I've got some there. What does that say? Gideon confronts idolatry amongst the Israelites. Gideon asks God for some reassurance by laying out a fleece. The Midianite people terrorize the Israelites who fled to live in caves. God asks Gideon to cut his army from 32,000 to 300, and then God calls Midian to lead them against the Midianites. That's all in the wrong order. Chat with the person next to you. Get it in the right order so you can get that story into your mind. Have a go at doing that. You may have a few gaps. Okay, right. Let's see how you got on. Bring up the next slide then, Dan. Okay, so you would remember, hopefully you got this in the right order, that the Midianites were terrorizing the Israelites. They were burning their crops and so forth, so they had to live in caves. And they're all going, why won't God save us? So God calls Gideon to lead them against the Midianites. We heard about the calling of, I think I was there for that one. That was my first week of the summer before I went on holiday. God calls Gideon to lead them against the Midianites. He raises him up as the judge. Then Gideon, first thing he does is he confronts idolatry amongst the Israelites. So they're all worshipping Baal, and he goes down and takes all the poles down of worship. He's a very brave fella. But then he doesn't get so brave after that. He says, do you really want to lead me, Lord, in fighting the Midianites? Can I just put out a fleece just to see if that's what you're asking me to do? And he puts out his fleece. And then he goes for a second time on his fleece because he wasn't quite sure the first time. So he goes for a second option. And then finally, Gideon says, okay, God, I believe you're on my case now. You're calling me to fight the Midianites. And he starts off with 32,000. And God, just to show that he is God, cuts the army bit by bit to 300. And that is where Mari took up the story this morning. So we've got Gideon there with 300 fighting men ready to take on this Midianite army. If God wasn't in the equation, it wouldn't be looking good. And here, we've heard from Mari how God spoke directly to Gideon. You would have heard in verse 9, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. So the Lord has spoken directly to Gideon on there. We don't know whether that was an audible voice, whether that was a dream. We don't know whether that was just a strong sense that the Lord was saying, you've got to get down there. I'm going to show what's going on there. And as we know from the fleece, God is very patient with Gideon. I find this so reassuring that he knows Gideon's character. Gideon is clearly someone who's a little bit wobbly. Really? Did you say that, Lord? He's a little bit worried. And to be quite honest, I think he's got good cause to be with some of the things that God's calling him to be. I think this is fantastically reassuring for us who are a little bit, any of us here who are a little bit timid, need a bit of reassurance, need God to tell us 2, 3, or 4 times before we get the message. Did you hear this in verse 10 and 11? If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. Isn't it amazing that he knows his character and God gives him this encouragement, this dream that he overhears when he goes down to the camp? He knows Gideon needs encouragement like some of us. God doesn't just bawl him out and say, for goodness sake, man, pull yourself together, get down there, I've called you. He's fantastic. He gives him that encouragement. He is gentle with him along the way. God puts Gideon at ease because he knows him intimately. He knows he's not a gung-ho kind of fella. He's even kind and sends someone to accompany him on that journey. Purah, he sends down with him there, so he's not alone. Isn't it great when God gives us a friend for the journey? I love that. God's given me friends for the journey here in Glossop, and I'm eternally grateful to him for that. People that will stand with you. And God's given him this encouragement. And he's going to need it, because we hear in verse 12, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley. They were thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. So this is a big job with 300 men that God's calling him to. And who did God use to reassure Gideon? So not only does he look after Gideon, he gives this dream. Did you hear the dream? Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend had responded, because he was sharp, his friend. This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. God used people that didn't know him. The Midianite people didn't know the Lord. And yet God is sovereign. He's been able to put that dream into their hearts. Isn't it interesting how God can use anybody? Those that know him and those who don't know him, yet we hope to speak into our lives, because he is sovereign and he is powerful and he can do that. So we see here a God who sends a dream to encourage Gideon. Now that's all the encouragement Gideon needs. Isn't that brilliant? He's game on after that. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. The only correct response. Isn't that brilliant that he just acknowledged, Lord, you are sovereign. Lord, you know me intimately. You've helped me. You've encouraged me here. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give you the glory. And he's like, well up for it now. Because he's like, he returned to the camp of Israel and he said, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Even with his 300 men, he is encouraged because he's heard the voice of the Lord. I hope that little text encourages you this morning, that God can speak to us. I hope that that text encourages you that even when we're timid and a little fearful and a little indecisive, God is gentle and compassionate and will encourage us. Not only did we have the saga with the fleece, where God gave him two goes, God's given him a dream here and an example to encourage him. So I firmly believe that God speaks today, my friends, and I hope that you do as well. We had some encouragements there as we heard God speaking to Gideon, and I just want to end by just looking at a little bit how God speaks to us today and just covering a few things. Can you call it onto the next slide, Dan? That'd be brilliant. So we heard from there that God speaks into our heart, God knows our character, God speaks through others, and he is sovereign. Okay, and move it on. And this is how we hear him today, because of these things. We hear God through his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's really been speaking to me through his word this summer at New Wine. One of the things we were looking at in the morning was the story of Moses. It prompted me to then read the story of Joshua when I was on my holidays in Devon and Cornwall afterwards. And God's been speaking to me in his word about being strong and courageous. He's been speaking to me through his word with Moses. Can you remember in the burning bush? The first battle, the first confrontation in our lives is always with ourselves, with God there. Before we can take on the battles of life, there is so much God needs to do inside of us. And God's been really speaking to me this summer about that personally. And it's his word. It's a story that's 3,000 years old that God is speaking into my heart. So hopefully you've known God speaking through his word. God spoke once and for all in Jesus Christ. You will hear in Hebrews, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him, whom also he made the universe. We know that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. We know that he is the central fulcrum. Whenever I get a bit wobbly in my faith, whenever I'm a little bit unsure about who God is, I return to the Gospels and I look at the person of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, Colossians tells us. And it anchors me. It shows me this is what my God is like. He is the healer. He is the man of compassion. He is a God of vision. He is a God of hope. He is a God present to us in suffering. He is the God of the resurrection. And the list could go on and on and on. I see who he is. God speaks to us also in nature as well. And living in a beautiful place as we do. Romans tells us, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And I know, speaking to you with some of your stories, when people tell me how they came to faith, often a small jigsaw of that story piece is, how can this be an accident when I raise my eyes to the hills? How can those beautiful beaches in Devon and Cornwall that I've just come back to be an accident. We see God's handiwork in there. God speaks to us through circumstances as well. Be encouraged. Listen for the signs. Listen to this from Acts. From one man, Jesus Christ, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Your circumstances, where you find yourself in this town, where you find yourself in your life stage, are not accidental. You have played your part in that, in making choices, but God has set boundaries on your life. The circumstances that brought me to this place over 4 years ago, I can just see God's hand and God's call, God preparing me all over the place. I couldn't necessarily see it at the time, but we listened to circumstances as part of our story that brought us here. God uses where he has situated you in your job, where he has situated you in the country, where even he has situated you internally. There might be holy discontent in you. There may be disappointment in you. All of those things God can use so that we would search for him and find his good and his pleasing and perfect will for him. Final one on this one. Dreams and visions. We heard God spoke through dreams. Expect him to do that. We hear in Joel. This is a prophecy before Jesus came, and it's talking about the Spirit coming at Pentecost. Afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. You've got a little list of five there. Turn to the person next to you. Which one of those do you feel God speaking to you? Has God used all five of those things to speak to you? Has God used two or three? How is he using those things at the moment? Turn to the person next to you. Have a little chat about that. How you have heard God for those things. Go. It's your turn now.
This work if I pop it up in a minute.
Okay. If you just draw your conversations to a close there. Okay, hopefully, just want a quick show of hands for this. Put your hand up if at some point in your life God has spoken to you through his word. Brilliant. I was hoping that would be the case. In the last year, keep your hand up if specifically you feel that has happened. In the last 6 months, in the last month, in the last week. There we're there. All right, that's happening. So that's happening through his word. Interesting. God's been speaking to me through his word this summer. Well, I would hope that he has spoken to you through Jesus Christ. Put up your hand if he's spoken to you through Jesus Christ. That's hopefully a no-brainer there, on there. Put nature. Does nature speak to you? Do you see God speaking to you through nature? That's a big one. Oh, it seems to be a big one, mate. It's because we live in a beautiful place here, in particular. Circumstances. Can you see God speaking to you through the circumstances? Oh, brilliant. I tell you, this is great. Our new Methodist minister's putting his hand up for all of this. This is so reassuring. This is brilliant. He's going to be a brother in arms. I can see it. Fantastic. Really good to have you with us this morning. Dreams, visions, and miracles. Brilliant. That's fantastic. Well, I'm really excited about that. That's great. That's brilliant. Okay. I'm just going to take three stories after that. I'm just going to rattle through a few more just on this. So next slide. Okay. So God speaks to us also through his spirit. His spirit works in our thoughts and our feelings. We read in Romans about how Paul says that the Lord transforms us by the renewing of our mind. He speaks into our thoughts. He speaks into our feelings. Thoughts and feelings always, feelings are given by God, but thoughts and feelings always need to be weighed. They always need to be weighed with trusted Christian friends. They need to be weighed that they are not in contradiction to God's word, how he's revealed himself there. But his spirit we see working in our thoughts, our feelings. I did have the story of Elijah, but I haven't got enough time for that this morning, of when the Lord is speaking to him through his feelings. Also, he speaks through his spirit through prophetic words and words of knowledge. We know that from when we looked at Corinthians together, didn't we? That the Lord gives spiritual gifts, a prophetic word. He speaks truth into our hearts. Sometimes he gives a specific word of knowledge. Brilliant. At New Wine, sometimes, well, they always ask to go up for prayer at the end of the main meeting. And they always say, can we have more men and women to come and pray down the front? We've got so many responding here. And sometimes I sit there looking at my shoes going, oh, I kind of do this thing all the time. Can I just sit here? And then other times I think, come on, man, go down there. For goodness sake, give something. Be a blessing to someone. And I did this, the Lord took me to, and I just knew I had to go to this certain gentleman. And I just started praying for him, and I knew specific things. I just started gently praying them into his life, and then they got more and more specific as we went on. And he just thanked me for your prayer. He said, that was great. The Lord was really touching my heart. And we spoke, and I just said, have you just had a broken relationship? He said, yeah, it's terrible. I've been going out with a girl for 4 years. I knew she wasn't the person God wanted me to marry, and I've just broken off that relationship, and it's like cold turkey not being with her, but I know that it's right. And I'd already prayed into some of that beforehand, and I said, do you know what, that was my story as well. I got engaged to someone, I was with someone for about 3 years that I just knew wasn't the Lord's best for me, but I wasn't strong enough to sort it out at that point, and eventually the Lord said, come on, you know, for her sake, for your sake, for your sake as a follower of me, you need to end this. And it was great that we were able to, that his story was my story. And the Lord had brought me to him. The Lord had helped me to pray some specific things into his life and had revealed that to me as I was praying. No way I could have done that on myself. And I was the right man at that time for him. And we've kept in touch. We've been doing a little bit of texting ever since. And I'll be praying for him over the next months. And kept seeing him around the site, and a little bit more happened each time we saw one another. And it was really encouraging to me because I could see the Lord specifically using me for him. And it was great. So I found a brother there. And then, of course, the Lord speaks through others. We saw that in our story, and through prayer. Are there any stories anyone specifically wants to share just as we end today? You've been hearing about that, didn't you? You heard about God speaking through his word, through Jesus Christ, through nature, through circumstances, dreams, visions, miracles, through his spirit. Is there anything anyone else just wants to share to encourage this morning about how God's been speaking to them recently or historically that would be an encouraging one? I'll just take three this morning. There you go. I'll put you on the spot. Here we go. Anne Williams. Fantastic. How's the Lord spoken to you recently or in the past?
He actually used the young people at St. Stephen's Twickenham. And I went to a service there a couple of weeks ago. And I've been really struggling. And just saying, where are you, God, and whatever. Anyway, I went forward just for prayer. And this young person prayed over me in tongues. And I just felt the Lord say to me, Anne, I'm with you, but you need to dig deeper from the well. And the service and everything else that was there, and she prayed a lovely prayer over me, saying God wants to be close to you. And I just really felt as though God just knew intimately where I was at that time and actually spoke into my heart.
That's wonderful, and I can hear that from your voice, Anne, that touched you. Isn't it interesting, sometimes when we go out of our normal situation, God can speak to us as well. So all the way to Twickenham for that. Thank you for that encouragement, Anne. I'm so glad to hear that the Lord's working in your life. And a couple more. There we go. Right, Nick.
Yeah, that God's in it with us. On Friday, we had a young lady come in with a baby. And she said that her daughter hadn't had a fit for a month. And she'd come in about a month before, and the baby was really distressed, and she said she'd been fitting on a regular basis. And it was the first sandwich of the day, and I just went around the other side and just said, can I pray for your baby? And she said, well, I'm not a believer. And she came in, and she was really buoyant on Friday. This baby hasn't had a fit in a month. And also, God uses, that's one thing, also God uses the circumstances where we work. And in the past couple of weeks, outside agencies have been coming to us to try and get people placed into rehabs, because we've got links with Christian rehabs, with people with addiction. And they've been coming to us, and I find that's really encouraging.
Thank you. That's brilliant. And using, God's sovereign, isn't he? Using people that don't know him yet, or may know him, may not know him, on that. He can weave these things together with others. Any more for any more? I'll take a final one. There we go. Oh, sorry. Brenda, I'm coming up. Do, running off my holiday barbecues and beers, just there.
I have some friends who I knew would be right for each other, and I tactfully, well, or untactfully, introduce them together. So that's something I felt God was telling me to do, and I did it.
That's it. Has that been okay?
And it's worked quite well, I think, so far.
It's worked. It's
not been an easy ride, but an easy path. But I think, I think I did the right thing.
Phew, I'm glad that that's worked out on there. That story wouldn't have worked otherwise, but great, thank you. And sometimes we feel that prompting, don't we? That we just got to do this. It wells up inside of our spirit. And as we check it with God's spirit, as we check it out in prayer, as we check it with God's word, we know that. And God can use us, and it's so exciting to be used as someone that God can speak with. Right. We're going to respond in worship, but first I'd love us just to pray for one another that we would hear God speak in our lives. I believe God can speak to us here this morning. I believe God can speak to us as we're dozing in our chair this afternoon, which is my hope and prayer for myself at some point. There we go, got a busy week coming up, need to recharge a little bit. I believe that when we go into to work on Monday morning, as we go home, as we're caring for our families, God can speak into our situations. He can use. We've got a whole army of people here he can use. So if you're able, can you just stand up? If you just stand up. And just very, very simply, because I know some people find this easier than others, so I try to make it as simple as possible. Just as we lead into worship, it would be great if you could pray for the person next to you. It's as simple as this, friends. This is all I'm asking you to do. Some of you love doing this. You're very adept at it. But you may want to put a hand on their shoulder and just say, call them by name and say, Sarah's there, she's in the front, and I can see her. Just say, I pray that you would speak to Sarah this week, Lord. Amen. It's as simple as that. You can make your... Or if you sense God saying anything for them during the worship, maybe you can say that at the end to them. But just pray. Let's pray for one another. That simple prayer. I pray that you would speak to Sarah, Joe, Fred this week. So do that for the person next to you. Do that for each other. And then we will come into worship with our antennae up, hoping that God will speak to us.
Brenda this week, that she would hear your